I'd like to welcome you all to the La Trobe University podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and in the sidecar with me today is Professor Carol Adams. She's the Deputy Dean for the Faculty of Law and Management, and she's also a Professor of Accounting and Sustainable Development Strategy. Let's give her a big round of applause. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So you're here to talk about the corporate responsibility as far as it goes to the adaptions they need to make for climate change. We've got a public at the moment who's very aware of how climate change is affecting the world. It's the only one we've got. There's been songs about it. We all know what it's about. And we all need to think about the polar bears. So companies need to step in line. Do you think they're ready the way they are?
I think companies have a lot more work to do. They've started over the last few years, but I think Australian business generally is well behind its competitors internationally. Stakeholders should also be involved in deciding what are the key issues on which organisations ought to be accountable, which they should include in their sustainability report. The banking sector, for example, a key issue for banks is their indirect impact. So when banks are determining what projects to finance, they may choose to work with organisations which they are considering funding to look at the social and environmental impacts of the projects and try and help organisations work to reducing negative impacts. And that would really make a very significant difference if all the key banks, major banks, were doing that with projects that they were funding.
So that's working at it completely from a publicity point of view, more so than anything else, because a bank really wouldn't have a carbon footprint, for example, or it would, but not to the extent like where a car manufacturing company would have, carbon emissions to meet or something like that.
No, their direct impacts would be less significant than organisations like manufacturing organisations, mining, the water sector, where they really have very high environmental impacts. But a bank has a lot of indirect impacts through its lending and financing decisions. And that's where they can make a difference, working with organisations to work out ways of minimising those. There's various ways in which companies might work with their own stakeholders to reduce their environmental impacts. The ANZ has a financial literacy project with the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence. So companies can form partnerships in that way, which are linked with their own work.
So what are the incentives for companies? Why should they want to report on their social and environmental impacts?
This is a way that they can demonstrate accountability to stakeholders for those impacts. So it helps build trust with stakeholders. One of the key audiences for sustainability reports are also their own internal staff, employees and managers. It's a way of telling employees what they're doing, particularly with regard to employment issues, diversity issues, ways of communicating with staff, training opportunities, health and safety issues. So it's a way of communicating all of those things, plus all the other range of social and environmental issues to employees. It's also a fairly important tool to managers. Very often the decision to be accountable to stakeholders, that is to produce a sustainability report, it's that decision which then leads to the development of data collection systems. So often the decision to report and be accountable comes first, and then organisations realise that they don't have all the data collection systems in place. So they develop their data collection systems. And then once I start collecting the data and reporting it, the data becomes visible. And so, for example, I've been doing some work on diversity reporting recently, and a number of the organisations that I've spoken to have told me that the data that they reported, when it was broken down into individual business units, as it is before it's amalgamated for the sustainability report, that makes the data that each manager across the organisation is responsible for, it makes that visible. And then they have an incentive to improve their performance, because they can see their performance against that of all the other managers in the organisation. It's not just about doing right by stakeholders and doing right by society. It is seen as an important business issue to do this. It's about risk management. It's about reducing risks further on down the track by considering, you know, the possible social and environmental impacts of particular projects. If they weren't considered, there may well then, you know, be a legal case or some liability further down the track. So by looking at it up front, companies may well be avoiding a real cost down the track. Being concerned with sustainability and corporate social responsibility used to sometimes be seen as, you know, perhaps sacrificing profits, taking money away from shareholders. I think that's a very old-fashioned and conservative view. In fact, very often, making a start on environmental initiatives can lead to cost savings. Once you start measuring performance on emissions and water use, you start reducing your energy use, reducing water use, perhaps increasing recycling initiatives. And companies have made major savings by, you know, by collecting that data and starting to manage it.
So how does sustainability reporting make a difference?
To me, sustainability reporting, the most important element of sustainability reporting is not the report itself. The report itself is an outcome of a whole process within the organisation, which should be integrated right across the organisation. It starts with defining the values of the organisation with respect to sustainability. And that can involve a lot of soul searching within the organisation. It involves people thinking about what are the important issues for the organisation and the particular sector that it's in. Once the values are determined, it's important to develop the key issues that the organisation should report in. That must necessarily involve engaging with stakeholders, because if we're talking about identifying what impacts are material to stakeholders, they really need to be consulted in that process. Otherwise, we could miss some of the important ones. From the issues, organisations should be developing a set of clear objectives and then more specified targets. Ideally, targets ought to be quantified. They shouldn't just be, for example, reducing CO2 emissions. We want to know how much organisations are planning to do this by. Because in the next year's report, we want to see how well they've gone against their targets. We want them to report against their targets to say whether they've been achieved, and if not, why not. What's often missing from sustainability reports is information on the process of reporting. Who are the key stakeholders? Who's the audience for the report? How have they been consulted? What are the responsibilities within the organisations for different aspects of the sustainability reporting and management process? How are the key performance indicators determined? How is performance managed? What happens, for example, when a company falls short on its performance against a target? What action is taken? That information on that whole process and how it's integrated across the organisation, how it really becomes embedded within the organisation, is crucial to me as a reader of a report in trying to get a feel for how serious the organisation is. And it's important in giving credibility to the report. A report which just includes a lot of data doesn't really tell me a great deal. For a start, I have no way of knowing whether that data is appropriate data for that particular organisation in that particular sector, without any idea of the process that they've gone through in determining targets and benchmarking their performance.
Australia hasn't really had to measure up to anyone. We've been accountable to ourselves. Is that a good way to put it?
I actually found, when I came to Australia 6 years ago, a bit of anomaly in that there was a lot of concern for the natural environment because it is so different in Australia. There's a lot of concern on an individual level, but it certainly wasn't translated into corporate action. There isn't a culture of organisations being involved in corporate social responsibility and sustainability issues. I guess that I put that down in part to a lack of leadership from the government. Leadership doesn't have to be solely through legislation. You can have environment ministers engaging with organisations, writing to them, meeting with them, encouraging them to do more on social and environmental issues to really lift their game and improve their performance. Writing to them when they hear of things going wrong and asking what they're going to do to put it right. You can have government agencies taking a proactive role. There aren't many countries in the world where this kind of reporting is mandatory. It tends to be limited to particular issues. In Australia, there are some reporting requirements to public agencies, for example, on equal opportunities issues. But there are very few requirements for reporting to the public, to be accountable to the public. I think that pressure on organisations has increased as they have become bigger through the process of globalisation. Many companies now globally are more powerful and have more impact on the social and environmental issues within a particular country than some of the national governments in those countries do. So society's expectations of companies with regard to social and environmental issues has increased significantly over the last few decades, I think largely because of that.
We've got a more self-aware public now. We've got a public who's aware of the impact that they're having on the environment. So it's beneficial for companies to say, yes, we support it. Yes, we're doing these changes. Yes, we're making progress here.
It is the case that many organisations are really embarking on corporate social responsibility to help them attract and retain the best staff. There have been many surveys done recently which have shown that the majority of graduates and existing staff within organisations choose an employer because of its ethical stance. There's a bank in the UK, the Co-op Bank, which surveyed its customers and found that about a third of them banked with that particular bank because of its ethical stance. So it really does become a business issue. So the survival of the business is often determined by its stance on these issues.
So why is it important that companies get involved? Because some of them seem pretty reluctant.
I think the accounting profession could be doing much more. In the 16 years that I've been working in the field of corporate social responsibility and sustainability reporting, I haven't come across an accountant who's been significantly involved in this process. And yet, I think there are areas where they could make a significant contribution because of their background in financial reporting and data collection and management systems and performance management generally. There is within accounting research, there is a growing strand of research on sustainability reporting issues, which overlaps with environmental management systems, corporate social responsibility, environmental accounting. So it's recognised as an important area by accounting academics. Some accounting professional bodies have made significant progress, but there are some others who are lagging behind and perhaps not equipping their members as well as they might be for work in this area.
Are you optimistic about this?
Well, I suppose one thing does concern me about is about how governments are really reticent to get involved in this area at all. They're uncomfortable about pushing business to do more, and I guess that's all to do with where their votes come from. I think that's very unfortunate. What I've experienced is that before a company starts reporting and collecting data, they're very reluctant to do so. They're very concerned about it. They're very worried about reporting any bad news. So if there was a negative environmental impact, like a pollution incident, for example, they're concerned about reporting it. It's once they have done it that they realise that actually it builds trust with stakeholders. that actually they're getting a lot of data which is very useful in helping improve their environmental performance and reduce costs in some areas, they start to realise how useful it is. And I've never heard of a company who starts to go down this track, collecting data and reporting it, and then pulls back to a significant extent because they think it was a mistake. So it's getting the message across that it's going to be good for business, encouraging them to take that first step, where we really need some intervention. Once they've done it, I believe that they will tend to continue to do it. There is always going to be a concern about reporting more information than competitors, reporting performance which they are afraid looks worse than competitors. But I actually feel that the public are pretty sensible and pretty fair on these issues. And where a company is willing to say what it's done wrong and what it's going to do to put it right, I believe they're quite forgiving. Where companies tend to get a lot of bad press is, to my mind, where they're trying to hide something or present something to be different from the way it is. That to my mind, that is a risk for organisations doing that. And it's the organisations which are hiding things which get the worst coverage in the press. And I've been told by CEOs that one of the main hindrance to progress on social and environmental issues are the shareholders. And the reason is that they're concerned with short-term profitability. A lot of these measures help improve profitability of the organisation in the longer term. They ensure that the organisation is still around in 10 or 20 years' time. The building trust with stakeholders, increasing employer and customer loyalty are intangible benefits, and it takes some time to realise the financial benefits of that investment. And the shareholders can often be the source of hindrance in organisations to making progress, as well as the CFOs. I'd like to encourage business to seriously consider reporting widely on social and environmental impacts to their stakeholders, to meet with their stakeholders, to report bad news as well as good news, and be willing to say when they've made mistakes, but to say what they're doing to put them right. Organisations have been doing this for some time, and there are organisations in Europe which have been working on this for several decades now, have found that it really does build trust within the organisation, and it very often also leads to significant improvements in the organisation's reputation and financial bottom line.
So how does Australia measure up currently to how we've been in the past?
It's been 6 years since I moved to Australia, and I've noticed a significant increase in the number of companies preparing sustainability reports. But to my mind, the quality of those reports is lacking. They're not demonstrating sufficient accountability to stakeholders. Many of them lack credibility because they don't talk about their processes of engaging stakeholders. They don't, for example, perhaps quantify targets or measure performance against targets. There's still a lot of important elements missing from sustainability reports, which would help ensure credibility and completeness of those reports. There were two parliamentary inquiries last year concerned with corporate social responsibility and sustainability reporting, and they came up with a number of recommendations. One of them was that Australian companies should identify their top five sustainability risks. Well, from the work I have done, I would not be confident that any more than a handful of companies were in a position to identify their top five sustainability risks, simply because they haven't engaged their stakeholders and they haven't done the work, for me to be comfortable that they could identify all their sustainability risks, or certainly the top five anyway. that was really a ridiculous exercise. Well, you knew the outcome of, well, what before it reported, you knew they were going to conclude that there shouldn't be mandatory sustainability reporting. And that is exactly what they concluded. But they came up with a number of recommendations.